SBL, what's up? We are sitting with the great Nick Campbell to talk about the bass lines that made him. And we are so lucky to have you. Nick, what is the first song that we're going to bring up?
Okay, so I have a vivid memory of learning to play this in like freshman year jazz combo. And it's Squib Cakes by Tower of Power. And I had never heard bass playing like this before. Because at the time, you know, I'd maybe been playing for like a year or something, and I was like super into the Chili Peppers, and I was like all into rock stuff. And I had never heard kind of like the 16th note finger funk chromatic, like Rocco Prestia, like, like all that shit. Oh, man, dude, that's like, this like completely opened my whole universe up in terms of like what was possible on the bass as like, in terms of like funk accompaniment. And also like, the tone in particular, the second I heard that like kind of like woofy P bass, like warm thing, I was like, that's what bass is supposed to sound like. And that was like a big moment
that.
For me. Yeah.
Oh, I love learning that.
Yeah,
that
that's like what I want
early.
Yeah. Like, and like, obviously I love Flea and like the bright kind of more kind of sheeny active sort of thing. But when I heard like Fender P bass, I was like, damn, that's the thing. That's what I like. So this was a big moment for me.
I love it. Let's check it out.
Like that stuff. Yes, all the little. Yes. I was like, woo.
Good. So fun to hear how tight he is, but then those little variations that stray.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, a lot of that like interconnective tissue Jamerson stuff. Like, I had never heard anything like that before, and I was just like, wow, like it's so interesting and it adds so much forward motion, but it's still like so in the pocket and just like subtly moves everything forward. It was like a really big, that was a really big one for me.
It really too explains it. This is so awesome. Because there are things that, you know, people say that really help go like, oh, of course, you know, of course, because you have a Rocco element to your playing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And that makes so much sense. Like, I wouldn't have maybe said, oh, you know, without you prompting it, I don't know that I would have said, oh, yeah, of course, Rocco. But now that I hear it, it's unmistakable.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So that was a big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else you got? What's number two?
Number two. This is in no order, but I'm going to say 15 Step by Radiohead.
Oh, man.
Yeah. One of my favorite Colin Greenwood bass lines. I'm a massive Radiohead fan. A lot of people who like only know me from like funk world or whatever, like I listen to a lot of like songwriter music and rock music and stuff like that.
Yes.
And Radiohead is like one of my favorite bands. And this, to me, like 15 Step is like such a masterclass in development of like good bass parts. And one of the things I love about Colin's bass playing is he'll find parts like around a pedal point. Like this is like there, and then like add what the changes are like into the part and then have cool variations and cool counterpoints. And there's this break. If you know the tune, do you know the tune? Have you checked out this one? I figured.
Very well. Yes.
You know, so there's that break in the middle and it's all in five too. That's just like so sick. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh,
I know. Best. Do you want to go into the middle or do you want to start it from the top? What do you want to do?
It's worth checking out. The middle is the coolest part. I will say, like, if people watching haven't heard this before, the coolest thing about how the bass functions in this song is its development over time. We shouldn't just listen to the whole thing because right now, probably because it's boring, but not boring. That's the opposite of it. But you know what I mean? Just for like to get through it, we shouldn't. We maybe just check out the middle.
But, how it develops, though.
But it's so amazing to me. It's like such a masterclass in playing with space and like developing an idea over time.
I love it. All right, let's check it out. Dude, are you just like a combination of Rocco Prestia and Colin Greenwood.
That's kind of it, yeah. And then miscellaneous, like, upright bass, modern jazz stuff. Yeah, that is kind of my thing, yeah. But yeah, I love that, like, there's the B-flat, or is this, what, I think this song's in B-flat minor, right? Or maybe I just made that up. No, I don't know what key this is in. Hold on, wait, let me see. That's A flat, but then this part's in a different. Yeah, A flat. Yeah, okay, sorry, A flat. I don't know why I was just like, yeah, it's in B flat. I had no idea. I was just totally a guess. But like, you can hear space. Him. Yeah. And like, you could hear the tonal center is like underneath all the lines, and then he's like accentuating like the changes on the top part. So like the then up to the four and like where he's putting the pedal point is so cool, you know?
Oh yes.
And it's like so memorable.
We need to make a Radiohead video.
Dude, there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. And then there's that break in the middle. You know what I'm talking about, like after, yes, like at the last chorus. We might want to just listen to that real fast, just because it's so sick. Yeah, this is perfect.
The pedal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect him to repeat that.
No, and like...
The fact that that thing, the breakout happens twice.
Yeah. It almost feels like it has like a mini little like... Yeah, like A, then B, then like yes. B, A. It's like so cool. And it's similar to the verse part, but it's just different enough that like the sense of development, like it just like feels so good. And you can hear it like he's really emphasizing that like minor three, you know what I mean? Like more than the other part where it like feels like it's accentuating like the tonic more. Anyway, so sick. That's
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
What else we got?
Number three. I would say the Oscar Peterson Trio version of Days and Wine and Roses with Ray Brown. There's like they have like this two feel arrangement in the beginning of it from We Get Requests. That's just like the coldest Ray Brown stuff ever, I think.
As Sharon's pulling that up, I remember asking you about a two feel the last time we spoke, and you were talking about how like, ooh, like it's, you don't like to start talking about walking with a two feel, just like a one and a five with students that have never done it before.
Yeah.
Because a two feel is very, like, it's a very specific thing. And you're like, nah, you know, quarters. And I was like, oh, what about a two feel? And you're like, no, man, a two feel is sacred.
It's easier to start with quarters, I think.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I think like in general with music, it's like, it's easier to get your head around like playing something with no rests in it a lot of the time. And like, because you have to feel the time in between the notes.
Right.
So starting with quarters, I think, is easier. And like two feel requires a good two feel. This is an example of like a perfect two feel.
Sure.
And there's obviously like a little bit of an arrangement. And then when the quarter notes walking comes in, it just like, it's so sick. This is like a great thing to transcribe for people who want to check out like the coolest bass lines.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
It's not an ordinary, it's not just half notes.
No.
Right.
Like there's such a like delicate interplay between like how Oscar's playing the melody. It's like so perfect. And then this break. And then perfect quarter notes, you know?
Right.
Oh, so good.
Starting high, yeah. Oh. Sekitika.
And one of the things I love going over with like students and stuff about this line in particular is the amount of emphasis is really specific. But if you listen to like some of the bucket of fishes, they don't happen that often. Like a lot of the times when people, I hear people play walking lines, they'll overdo the ornamental stuff.
Bucket dipper.
But if you listen to like Oscar Peterson Trio or like Ahmad Jamal Trio or like any of that kind of stuff, most of the ornamentation happens way less frequently than you think. Most of it is just badass quarter notes with great line construction. You know what I mean? And this is like a great example of that, about like... like, it's all been quarter notes since I talked about it. There hasn't been anything extra. And then when it does happen, it feels so special, you know? Those because he plays a lot of stuff on this. But where he's choosing his moments is like, it's, to me, it's like so special. Like, this is such a great recording. I love, this is one of my favorite Straight Ahead recordings, just like, period.
That's incredible. Man, I need to get hip to that. Like, I don't feel like I've ever heard that version.
It's, dude, that's one of my favorite standards records. Every tune on that record is so good. It's like, it's great. That's like, what a good trio. Another one that, that kind of standards vibe, that's really great. Obviously all the Miles Quintet stuff when he was trying to get out of his record contract and they were just calling tunes like Steaming and Relaxing and all that stuff. Apparently that's the story. That's all great. Those are all great standards recordings. Ahmad Jamal Trio has a bunch of great stuff. To me, like, We Get Requests is like that's a classic, especially for bass players. Just the Ray Brown stuff on it is just ice cold.
So awesome.
So sick.
Okay, give us one more.
One more. Okay. Well, let me look at my list. We talked about one of these in the podcast, so I will skip it. I was going to do Havona by Weather Report, which is a classic, but we sort of talked about it. So sure. I'll do Darling Dear by Jackson 5. And Jamerson.
Yeah.
That's
Jamerson.
Like I there for me, it's like there has to be Jamerson on here somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's the coldest Jamerson line.
It's incredible.
There are a couple others that go up there, but man, I remember the first, I found out about this tune from the Jamerson book, from Standing in the Shadows of Motown. I had never heard it before. And I was looking at it. I was like, I got to listen to this. And I listened to it for the first time. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, this is such the thing we were talking about earlier today about like being busy, but still accompanying the melody. And have you heard the stripped mix of this where a bunch of the instruments are taken out and it's mostly bass, vocal, and like a little percussion? It's amazing.
Oh,
and like the way it interacts with everything is just, it's like so special. To me, this is like peak Jamerson.
Yes. Okay, cool. Let's check it out. He's so high in the mix too.
Yeah. Like this tune works. And it's worth checking out the strip mix, which it's a pretty awesome to hear.
Cool.
You could listen to drums, bass, and vocals from this recording and it would feel complete. Which
you
is
hear
like
the tune. Yeah. Sure.
Like, so the development is so good and it feels supportive the entire time, even though he hasn't repeated himself in like a single bar aside from the intro. And it's cool listening to this like right after We Get Requests, because like in terms of the vocabulary, like you can hear like a connection between this and like Ray Brown and like the way those guys connect all their lines together, which makes sense because Jamerson played upright and played a lot of jazz stuff. It's almost like if you straightened out Ray Brown and made it all 16th notes and instead of swung 8th notes, it would feel a lot like this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, like, as someone who plays a lot of different kinds of music, like, hearing the kind of continuum of the musical tradition, like, from straight ahead jazz to Motown to R&B music to rock music to the Beatles. You know, there's like a definitely like a tradition and a history that's like sort of makes it all connected. And so,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, and like hearing that again too, just gives me more insight into you. And some of those phrases that he plays, like where it's not always landing on downbeats.
Yeah,
16th note phrases will end on an instead of always on the next down, and across bar lines, and it's just magical.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
It's the sickest.
So you're a combo of James Jamerson. Well, no, yeah. who's the first person?
Rocco
Prestia, Colin Greenwood, and then who did we hear? James Jamerson, but who did we hear before?
Ray Brown. Yeah, that's like, and then if we have a fifth, Jocko, but we don't have I think that's like a pretty good. It's a pretty complete. There's some other notable exceptions that are missing. Like, I love all the Paul Jackson stuff with Herbie and like, I mean, there's, I could go on forever. It was really hard to narrow it down to this few songs.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Those are some of the big ones for me in terms of growing up.
Well, and to everybody checking this out on SBL, like, we have awesome content with Nick Campbell in the Academy too. The pentatonic soloing concepts course that you did, I've gone through that a couple times. I love that course.
Thanks, man.
And so be sure to check that out. And Nick, will you tell people too where they can go to find you, to keep up with what you're doing and to support you, to buy your music, to check you out? Where do they go?
I'm Nick Campbell Destroys everywhere on the internet. I have two records out, stuff on my YouTube channel. Check me out on Instagram. That's the best place to find me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Dude, thanks for having me. Always such a treat.
Absolutely.